Let me say one little word to you. That's sort of a note of the armor, in the sense that it's now the winter season. So, you know, it was an interesting thing when, after 25 years, they declassified the military documents from the 1967 war. And it's in 1992, so the U.S. had never, they printed this declassified document. And Moshe Dayan, when he captured the Hermon, when he sent to headquarters asking for permission to capture the Hermon, he wrote a memo, and the memo he wrote, it has strategic value, and also it has skiing. We don't have any other place to ski. So they were making chayzik of it, that was a consideration. But the truth is, you see in the Torah that of all the properties of Klal Yisrael, the Torah spent a lot of time on the Hermon, and it introduced it in a very interesting way. The Parsha Torah said, "Sidonim yikru l'Hermon Syria." Now, we call it Hermon. The Sidonim, there was Tsar and Sidon, those were the neighbors of the part of today's Lebanon. They called it Syria. The Amori yikru lo sneer. The Amori call it sneer. And then in the later parasha, there's a mountain called Sion, Sin Yud Avnon, and the Gemara says a chulin that's a fourth name for the same mountain. Today they use this, all the names as different parts of the mountain, but in the Gemara and chulin says that these are four names for the same mountain. Klal Yisrael calls it Hermon, and these other three umas call it other names, and Lamdacha, that's Chaviva, there's such a Chaviva thing that other nations have names for it. Okay. So, a very interesting question, which is, Rashi says, what is sneer? Hamari Karmo sneer. Rashi says that sneer is a word, a Kanani word, which survives to his time in German, Rashi says, as Schnee. Well, the word Schnee in German is a descendant of that word sneer. Who shelig beloshen Ashkenaz and beloshen Kanan? Unbelievable. And now we, 1,000 years after Rashi, can be made that it survives into English as snow. So there's some incredible siyat and dismay on this word, that no matter all the permutations in language over time, but somehow this sound survives, right? And Rashi finds it noteworthy. It's the same word. He says it's the same sound. So what's nagaya this whole thing? And I mean, why is there such a siyat dismay? It's an interesting question. And why does Rashi have to point it out? So I think the story is like this. Every other one of these names is a translated name. Sirion is not the transliterated. It's not the sound. Sirion is a Hebrew form, and it comes from sar, which is majestic, ministerial, and Sirion means it expresses that. Sion is from si in Hebrew, which is a high peak, and Sion means it expresses elevation. And Hermon, for sure, is Hebrew, is our word, and Hermon is really language related to Kedusha, and that it has an inspirational quality to it that already is in the realm of Kedusha. So why is it that the Torah so that means that those other Umas were not calling it Syrian, they were calling it the equivalent in their language, and the Torah translated it for them. So why did the Torah translate two out of three non-Jewish names and not the third? Right? This leads to a larger question: when does the Torah choose to translate, and when does the Torah choose to leave the sound the same? Like Avimelech is clearly a translation, whereas Paro, we know from history, is not. Right? If anything, it's a little bit of a joke on him, because in Hebrew, Paro means he's a bad guy. Parua is a wild man. And so the fact that we leave the sound and spell it in a way that gives the guy a dick, very different than how we treat Avimelech, right? So what's the system? So I want to make the argument that this is what this Rashi means, that this Torah only translates a thing that has an insight to it. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was contrasting and showing you how different cultures levels of their appreciation of what Hashem put into their bria. So the Amorim, who are from the Shiva Amrim, that we have to eliminate, eradicate, because they are so shallow that all they look up, snow, oh, snow. That's the name of the mountain, snow. Yes, okay, we can all look up and see the snow. But that's all they got. Right? So we say, those guys, get rid of those guys. And the Torah is not going to trouble to translate. And Rashi says this, it was an Ashkenaz, and then to this day, we have the same language, and they're teaching this lesson. To come be in this world and just see what's there, we don't need you. We don't need Umas for that. The Shiva Umas, which add to Klai Yisrael in some ways, the things that Shem wants from the Shiva Umas, but not these seven Shiva Amalim. I don't need them. The guy looked at snow, what do you see? Snow, get out of here. Okay, next. This other woman, they see Sion. They see elevation. They see height. At least they're getting something. Right? But they don't even mention that woman by name in the passage. But then, the Sidonim, we give them covered, they call it Sirion. They see majesty. That's really more mechubit. And you see later that the Melech Tzor was helped with building the base of Midas, Tzor and Sidon. There are even more elevated umas that the Torah records their insight. What they got from the mountain was something significant. And then we say, Chermon, that's already, to see the Kedusha in that, that's already a Klal Yisrael. That's the highest madriga. So that's all. So you see that, we should understand that there is a Nakuda of the Torah Taka is Mispar in this thing, that Abraham to made this mountain with the beauty from the snow, but up the snow level, we can all see that level. But from the snow up to the elevation, up to the majesty, up to the Kedusha, that this is something that is very special. Nachas supplies from big zechia for us to have it. And Sam should help us that we should have all the Halakim Eretz Yisrael, and we should have it with everyone keeping the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, appreciating it. Alpi Torah, Herb Yemen.